Well, we are celebrating our Thanksgiving holiday here this coming week. And, you know, it's really a reminder to us, to be thankful as a nation, right? Because we have a history in our country of the Lord founding us, you know, working and founding us as a godly nation, as a Christian nation. And, you know, the liberty that he's given to us. You know, I often tell people, when I come back from an international trip, I just want to kiss the ground and say, oh, I'm back in America. You know, I'm very thankful that God allowed me to be a citizen of this country and for what he's done in this nation. And so, you know, we take that time once a year to be thankful for that and to be thankful for what God has done to us. But, you know, it's also a good reminder that we are thankful in our personal lives as well, that we thank the Lord for what he has done in us. And that's so important that we practice it continually in our lives, because, you know, it's easy to forget to be thankful. It's easy to forget, you know, what God has done for us, or, well, not that we've forgotten, but forget to be thankful and to thank him for those things continually. You know, and sometimes we have to remind ourselves, right? And because sometimes, you know, I don't know if you've had a time where you've prayed really hard for something and it's, Lord, I need this situation, meet with me, and he does it. And then we're like, oh, and thank you, Lord, for doing that. You know, sometimes we can, you know, the time between him meeting our need and us remembering to thank him can be a little long, you know, between that. And so there's that thought of being thankful, and remembering that is so important. I just wanted to look at that thought with you this morning to see its importance and its power as well, you know, because there's power in being thankful. And let's start off by looking at Psalm 103, because there's some important thoughts in this psalm about remembering what the Lord has done for us. So Psalm 103, and we'll read verses 2 through 5. And the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. And it's like the psalmist is commanding himself, right? He had to put that commandment to his own heart. Forget not all his benefits. You know, and it's almost like, well, yes, the psalmist is reminding himself, but it's like the Lord is reminding us, you know, that that's something that we have to enact in our own lives. Forget not, because it's perfectly natural for us to forget things, isn't it? Right? I don't know. The older I get, the more I forget. I'm not sure if you relate to that, but, you know, sometimes we can be very forgetful creatures for what has been done to us, for what, you know, the good things we can experience. Sometimes we're not very forgetful about the bad things, right? We can remember all the things we went through. Oh, I had to go through that. But, you know, we can forget, oh, God delivered me in that. You see, I actually don't mind forgetting the bad things we went through. That's something we want to cry out to God for, and he can help us. That's kind of a different subject, but he can help us to forget the bad things. But at the same time, we have to cry out to God, Lord, thank you for what you have done. And we have to remind ourselves. You know, sometimes we can get into that rut of just remembering the difficulties, and we forget the good things, or we get into a rut of just not reminding ourselves and not being thankful for the Lord. And so how do we get out of that? How do we get out of that rut? Well, it's like the psalmist proclaims, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he starts to rehearse them. He lays them all out. This is what God has done for me and what he'll do for you. Right? He'll forgive your iniquities. He heals your diseases. He redeems our life. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. He satisfies us. He renews us. And, you know, practically everyone here has experienced all of those items in the list at one point or another, to one degree or another, that God has met with us. And so we all can give thanks. We can all remember all his benefits. There's many benefits to being a Christian. You know, you think about those who aren't saved and you just think, how do they do it? How do they make it without the Lord? And the benefits that come from serving him and walking in his ways, there's so many benefits. And we don't want to be forgetful of that. We want to be mindful and remember and remind ourselves of how good the Lord has been to us. And this is kind of a long list, right? If you think about all the things the psalmist is saying, and it gives us an idea of how thankful we should be, of how much that should be in our hearts. And if we don't get it there, Paul lays it out pretty clear for us. In Colossians 2 and verse 7, he says, we are to be established in the faith, right? And we understand that concept. That's important. We need to, as Christians, we're established in the faith. But at linking that, he says, and abounding with thanksgiving. There's that link here with faith and thanksgiving. We're going to see that later on as well. That if we want to be established in God in the faith, then a part of that is abounding in thanksgiving. And so if we want to grow in faith, we want our faith to be strong, there's this link that we understand from Scripture. The more we want to grow in the faith, then it's almost like the more we need to have that thankful heart developed in us, where we, you know, and thanksgiving is yes, it's an attitude, but when we're thankful, that's when we start to rejoice and bless the Lord, O my soul. The more thankful we are, the more we start to praise him and rejoice in him, because we realize, oh, he's done so much for me. We are to abound with thanksgiving, to overflow with thanksgiving. There's another verse we often think about with relating thanksgiving to our relationship with the Lord is Psalm 100. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 100 and verse 4. That it's like, it's as if we want to enter into his presence. You know, we come Sunday morning with the hope and the desire, oh, I want to experience the presence of God. And then maybe, you know, when in our time of devotion, we say, oh, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want you to speak to me. I want to know your presence day by day. You know, it was the cry of David. But this psalm tells us it's almost like there's an ingredient that we have to mix in if we want to experience his presence, if we want to come in to the presence of God and experience those things. It's as if thanksgiving is that ingredient that has to be added to our faith. We can have faith for the presence of God, but we have to have thankfulness in order to make it happen. And so that ingredient, we can't let that be missing out. We can see that a little bit in the story of the 10 lepers. Remember the 10 lepers who came to the Lord? It's quite an interesting story. You know, and that, this is in Luke 17. Right? And I can't imagine, right, 10 lepers. I mean, even them coming near a crowd was something in those days. So they were bold. I mean, they had faith. They were breaking the norm of entering into that crowd and petitioning the Lord, saying, Lord, heal us. So they had faith, but we know the story goes on, right? That Jesus said, okay, go show yourself to the priest. You know what? They went and did that. They walked in the way. They had faith to obey the Lord. But we know the story, that as they were doing that, they were all healed. And, well, 9 of them kept on going. One turned around, and Jesus points out this guy was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Hebrew, right? He was an even more of an outcast. But he came to Jesus, and he fell down at his feet and with a loud voice glorified God. He had something in his heart he wanted to pour out to express his thanksgiving. And so Jesus sees that, and he receives it, and he says, well, where are the 9? Where's the other ones? Why is there only one part out of 10 of that thanksgiving being poured out? All right? And then he says this. And I think this is what is really significant. He says, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. You see, it was his faith. But what was that part of the faith that made him whole? You know, it was he added that ingredient of thanksgiving into his life of faith, his response of faith. And it made him whole. Jesus, it was like a proclamation. You know, he wasn't just healed. He was made whole. You know, that sense of being made whole in body and soul and spirit. You know, I imagine that he became a follower of the living God because he was made whole. And so there's that proclamation where we can be made whole as we respond in faith to God. But yet, if we want the fullness of that faith, if we want to walk in the fullness of what God has for us, then we have to have that thanksgiving, that thankful spirit, that heart that wants to come and pour out our praise and our adoration, you know, with a loud voice, as that Samaritan did. The Lord often shows the lowest and their wonderful response to the Lord and says, be like this guy, right? He's the lowest and the least. Well, then you can be like him, can't you? Of course, that takes humility. It definitely did for the Hebrews that Jesus showed this man as their example of what they should be like. And he often did that. And so that response of thanksgiving, it allows God to make us whole. It does a deep work in our hearts. And you know, being thankful is a good maintenance program, right? It's a good spiritual maintenance program, you could say. And the Apostle Paul brings this out in Colossians 3 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, and he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called to be in one body, and be thankful. And so he's linking this another thought in Scripture, the peace of God. And who doesn't value peace in their life? Right? If you have peace, then you're not, I won't say you won't be in turmoil, but you won't have that turmoil in your heart. Right? You might be in a situation that's tumultuous, but yet we can be at rest and peace in the midst of the storm. And so, you know, Paul is saying, let the peace of God reign in your hearts as that umpire of peace to which we are called to be, and be thankful. And so you could say that a way to maintain peace in our lives is to always maintain that thankful spirit and to remind ourselves and to be grateful for all the benefits that God has given to us and done for us. You know, but when we stop being thankful, it's like we stop that maintenance program. Right? And when you stop the maintenance of something, whether it be in the natural or spiritual, things will start to go wrong, won't they? Things will start to run rough, right? They'll start to look a little shabby. They'll start to, you know, get run down because they haven't been maintained. And so we want to keep that in our spirit, that spirit of thankfulness. Otherwise, things start to creep in our spirit, right? They start to block our well. We talked about our well of living water being unstopped the other week. But, you know, those thoughts can creep in. Discouragement, fear, self-pity. But when we practice thanksgiving, it's like we're cleansing our spirit. And we're keeping a clear flow in our hearts so the river of God can flow. Let's just consider for a moment the result of unthankfulness. Now, you can think of the ultimate example of unthankfulness, of where this came. You know, you think about the highest angel in heaven. His name was Lucifer. Right? And he had the best position of any creature, you know, that the Lord ever created up to that point, you could say. I mean, that's what we understand from Scripture. I mean, there was no creature like him. He was so glorious. He was put there to give glory unto God. You know, he was one of the highest angels, and he had so much to be thankful for. But instead, he started to focus on some of the things he didn't have, right? And he started to focus on, well, if only I could be a little higher. If only maybe I could receive a little of what the Lord is receiving. And instead of being thankful, right, he started to go backwards. He started to use his gifts and his beauty for himself to receive worship. And, you know, maybe we've heard this before, but, you know, we've heard that phrase that unthankfulness is the first step to backsliding, right? And we can understand that from Romans 1 and verse 21. And that lack of thankfulness, right? Sometimes that vacuum where thankfulness once was, it's, you know, it allows other things to come in. And in Romans 1 and verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, kind of Romans 1 talks about the downward spiral of those who once walked in a good way, but then went down. And, you know, that little phrase is very significant. Neither were they thankful. It was as if there became a vacuum where the thankfulness was no longer there, and so other things came in. You know, you think about the what ifs. I mean, it's not always good to think about what if, but, you know, what if Satan, Lucifer, as he was at that point, had just kept that realization of what an honor he had been given to bring glory and worship to the Lord. What if Judas had kept that perspective that he was one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb and to be thankful for what he was given? You know, maybe things would be different, but we know that, you know, the Lord knows best in those situations, and he's restoring what has been destroyed in the past. But, you know, they expressed the opposite of thankfulness. They allowed other things to come in because of that. You know, there was a story reported in Canada several years ago. And, you know, maybe you've heard this story, but there was a group of individuals and they, you know, started drinking and got intoxicated. And there were some Christians there. I think they were pastors. And they were talking to these people. And as they started to talk to them, you know, these people had some demonic issues, and the demons started speaking out from this group of individuals. And what was so interesting is the demons started to share of what they like to feed upon. And they said, we love it when people are bitter. We love it when they're, you know, they speak about criticism and regret, and they start complaining and have self-pity. We like to feed upon those things. That's their food. You know, and we're talking about intangible spirits, but they were saying that attracts us. We like to feed upon those things. And, you know, those are the things that like to creep in when we're not thankful. And it's kind of like those spirits are drawn to those attitudes when we allow them to come up in our heart. You know, they're kind of like sharks. You know, sharks, I've seen documentaries on them. They can smell blood in the water like over a mile away. And they just kind of hone in on it, you know. And it's the same in the spiritual world. When we allow things to come into our hearts, you know, wrong attitudes and so forth, and they start to be expressed in us, you know, it just draws trouble, spiritual trouble and difficulty, you know. And so that's why it's so important that we not let that void of the lack of thanksgiving be in our lives, because it causes so much trouble. It draws the wrong things. But when we're thankful, it's like the enemy has no place. He can't find a way in. There's no vacuum he can enter in, because it's full of a heart that's being thankful. Now, there's a minister that once said that when his daughter was growing up, the verse he most often quoted to her was Psalm 144. In verse 14, he said, that there be no complaining in our streets. All right, he didn't want to hear that in his household, you know. But it was that idea. Let's not let any unthankfulness be heard among us, because when there's no unthankfulness, when we're being grateful for what God has done in our lives, there's no room for Satan to do his mischief. and to cause us trouble. Well, he can cause us trouble, but he can't get in to the door of our heart because it's being blocked. It's being barricaded by a thankful spirit. And so, you know, we want to have and develop and maintain that thankful spirit. And, you know, God even wants to bring us to a place where we could even have that thankful spirit, even for the difficulties, for the troubles that we go in. It's very, you know, that's a challenge to have a thankful spirit when you're going through it. And you think, what in the world can I be thankful for in this situation? But, you know, Paul says again, I mean, he really had this ironed out in his life in Ephesians 5 and verse 20. And he makes a statement here that doesn't leave a lot of room for anything else. In Ephesians 5 and verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a lot of wiggle room in that, right? For things that you don't need to be thankful for. For all things, always unto God. That means every single thing we go through in our lives, God is saying, you can be thankful for it, and that we should be thankful for it. And not just because it's protecting our heart, it's guarding our heart with a thankful spirit, but it's because what God can do in the situation. You know, it's something when you can praise the Lord and thank Him when you're going through a good thing, but isn't it such even a different level when we can thank Him for the difficulties we're going through? And you might ask, well, why should I thank Him? What does it do? What's the point of that? Well, really, it's because He is the only one who can take that situation and turn it for good. Because that's what He's promised that He can do for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And that's the saints. That description is every Christian who wants to follow Him, who loves Him, who's called to follow Him. He can turn all things for good, as He says in Romans chapter 8. And we can thank Him for that. You know, we can thank Him for the hard things. Because when we're doing that, you know, here it comes back to that thought of faith. It is a proclamation of faith when we thank Him. Lord, thank You for this situation. I'm not happy that I'm going through it. You know, it's not in my soul that I'm thanking Him for that. But in my spirit, I can see beyond this that You will turn this for good. Maybe even in this lifetime, I don't understand how You're going to do this, but I know that there's going to come a day. Maybe it's when you're standing before the throne in heaven and you see His plan and you say, oh Lord, You turned it for good. And we can thank Him for that. Because in reality, when we thank Him in those times, it's a proclamation of victory. Lord, You have overcome. Lord, You're going to overcome in this situation. Lord, You're going to turn it for good. The enemy, you know, the curse is going to be turned into a blessing. And how that happens, I leave that in Your hands, but I thank You for it. And that's powerful. That's powerful. That God can turn our situations. But it's so important that we make that proclamation. And that spirit of thanksgiving is there, because that is what can make the difference. You know, I've probably shared this story 100 times, but it's such a good story to meditate on and to think about and to apply in our lives. But I've shared the story about Corrie Ten Boom, you know, when they were in the concentration camp, and Corrie was having a little bit of trouble with her attitude, and her sister would say, you know, Corrie, we need to be thankful for all things, you know, even for the lice. And she said, how in the world could I ever be thankful for the lice? Well, they would be ministering and they would be leading people to the Lord and, you know, sustaining their faith in that impossible situation, but God was meeting them there. And then one day she had a realization. Why did the guards never come and bother us in the bunk room? Well, it's because it's full of lice and they don't want to come in there. And she realized, oh Lord, thank You. You made this a sanctuary for Your presence to come and minister to us because of this lice. And she realized, Lord, I can thank you for that. I can thank you for the lice, you know, and she could rejoice in that. And that's where we want to have that heart of thanksgiving. And even if we don't see it, sometimes we can't see it. Like, you know, like Corey did later on, she saw it. Her sister didn't see it, but she still said, oh, we can thank the Lord. And that's the heart we want to have. I don't see the purpose of this. It seems like the opposite, like this is a curse. But I know my God is good. He can turn it for good. And I'm going to thank him for that. I'm going to rejoice. You know, and we can come to that place where we can thank God for, you know, whatever we've gone through, even things that have hurt us. We can thank him for it because he can turn it for good. Now, I remember there was a summer camp where the Lord was really dealing with some of the young people because they had been hurt in the past through parents or through situation they'd been through. Just, you know, they had been hurt. And they had a real reason to come and say, Lord, why have I gone through these things? But the Lord spoke to them. And it was so clear in prophecy and in the messages that he wanted them to forgive and to thank him for those situations that he was going to turn for good. And when they came, there was a real breakthrough that they came to the altar and they just laid their lives down and said, Lord, okay, we thank you for those situations. We don't understand. But I remember after that service, there was such a breaking forth in rejoicing. It's like they were set free. And I remember we danced so my legs hurt. We danced so much and we're rejoicing in the Lord. But there was like that setting free, that liberty that came when they started to thank the Lord, even for the hard things they went through. But it set them free. And they were at liberty. And so there's that aspect that if we want that life of faith where we're entering into the fullness of God and we're laying hold on the faith of Jesus, that we integrate this spirit of thanksgiving and rejoicing in the Lord, because it will allow us to enter into a life of victory when we practice this. And so let's take the time out in this season, you know, it's a good reminder that we be thankful. And sometimes we have to examine our lives and say, Lord, maybe my level of thanksgiving has been not up to par. You know, maybe I've been down a little bit and I need to remember. Well, the main way we do that is rehearsing and reminding ourselves and examining, Lord, what do I have to be thankful for? And when we start to think, you know, I think we can fill in the blanks. Lord, you've been so good to us. You know, Lord, there's many benefits that I can thank you for in my life. And so let's celebrate this holiday season, this Thanksgiving season, and give thanks for all things and all that he's done, and make that a practice in our lives so that we can walk by faith and enter into that fullness of faith and be a victorious people. Amen. Father, we just thank you. Lord, and we do want to thank you for all the things that you've done. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for the times when we haven't been thankful or we've neglected that. Oh, Lord, just cleanse that from us. And Father, we ask that you would put within us a thankful and a rejoicing spirit. Cause us to remember. Oh, Lord, even remind us and show us those things that you've done in our lives. That Lord, our heart would be humble and that we would remember, Lord, and give thanks and praise and honor and glory to you because you're so worthy. Oh, God, Lord, establish that thankful heart, that thankful spirit within us, Lord, that it would even go beyond our soul, but it would be in our spirit, that we would purpose and remember and practice to thank you and give you praise and glory in our lives. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen.